Welcome to another episode of Working with Purpose. Our show is dedicated to exploring topics around the intersection of faith and business and viewing leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. I'm David Stark. I'm a management and leadership consultant and author, and I'm joined by Justin Royers, who's also a strategist and service designer, and he's my co-host. We want to welcome him back from vacation today, Justin.
Hi, David. It's good to be back.
Great. We're glad you joined us today, and we're in a series called Trends, Disruptions, Frontiers, and Hacks. We've actually been looking specifically at the agility trend. And we're going to look today a little bit deeper into how in the world do we handle complexity with all of this adaptability trend, rather, and how we handle all of this complexity that's coming on. There was a question asked by one of our listeners, is how do I handle all this complexity? And we're going to look at it really closely today. But our whole purpose here is to advance an image of leadership based on the metaphor of the agile human body instead of the rigid machine. You can join us at this conversation at davidstarkcollective.com. You can find us on Twitter at Stark Collective, or you can join our LinkedIn group called Business Connected. And also our podcasts are on iTunes. Just look under davidstarkcollective.com. So anyway, I want to open a story here, Justin, just about our listener. He called in, and he was in a situation in another state, and he was really asking the question, is work keeps getting more and more complex for him. And since we're talking about adaptability, you know, how are we going to deal with that complexity? And I want to give an overarching image, which we'll be looking at a lot in the months to come. But there's a wonderful new book by Thomas Friedman called Thanks for Waiting. But its basic thesis is this, is that in many dimensions of technology and in business, there is an acceleration happening right now. And it's a series of exponential accelerations. The closest image that humans get to that kind of acceleration is when you're going down a roller coaster, where it's not just accelerating at exponential rates, right? Or perhaps when you're going up in a fast airplane. But the idea is that there are a bunch of them happening simultaneously. And he's trying to deal with is can we handle that level of adaptability is what he's really asking, because the human adaptable curve is more linear, even if it's upward, and you're dealing with exponential curves against it. So that's the larger context. But we're going to simplify it today just to a person and how they adapt to these accelerations they face at work. And we hope this helps you stay productive or even more productive in your current job. But we're also going to help deal with transitions that are happening for more and more frequently for people when they're in between jobs or they've got to find a new job. So that's kind of our focus here today. I want to begin to talk about kind of your current job and how to successfully ride the rapids of change that are happening all around us and are impacting your organization. A few critical ideas will help here. But let's go back to the basic equation of how work used to work. It used to work like this. Talent plus education plus experience plus skills equal competency. And you were paid for competency, basically. And that's changed in some very important ways. First of all, with talent, as we now know I can't remember his name right now.
Malcolm Gladwell.
Thank you. Glad you're back.
Yeah, hello.
You have to work 10,000 hours at something to really get to mastery, right? So that should be part of the early career journey. That's the first point for younger people is before you necessarily go after the dream job, there's a lot of time you spend getting ready for the dream job in terms of your competency. And so I've got a friend named Tad, for example, Justin, he now works at the American Refugee Committee doing some amazing work. We're going to have him on the radio, actually, helping the poorest of the poor with for-profit jobs. But when I did the strategic review of this over in the Congo, I kept saying there's got to be a strategist here. Well, it turns out that he was at Deloitte as a business analyst for a few years. Well, all of that Deloitte experience got him ready for what he's doing now. That's just a good example of how he gained the competencies before he dived into what he really wanted. So, Justin, why don't you hop in here and talk about this?
Well, the equation that you talked about, Dave, I think is still relevant if we change the definition of some of the terms that go into it. Like, for example, the word skills, I think, is one that if you interchange it or update that definition, it still makes sense. And what I mean by that is, historically, that equation worked because skills meant something tangible that you could do, right? You're making a certain widget, you know, et cetera. And that's kind of going back to the industrial age. But now we talk a lot about meta skills, things that are important now, right? Things like creativity and empathy and problem solving. Those are the skills that are really important in a knowledge economy, and those are the things that we need to continue to focus on. So the moral of that story is really, you know, consider this new definition of skills, and then you'll still, this equation will still work for you, but you're going to have to get rid of the old definition of skills to make that work.
Gotcha. Totally got it. That's exactly right. So we're dumping different definitions into each one of those, if you will, right? So let's get into a second point besides that kind of first point there, and that's it, that software augmentations, everything, every job you can name now almost has a software connected to it. And so consequently, if you can stay in touch with what the current softwares are relative to your field, whatever that field is, right? And you continue to keep yourself as much updated as you can, or even just know more of the capabilities of a given software pack or package, you're going to be more valuable in the whole industry and not just in your current job, right? My sister is a great interior designer, right? She's an artist and a good designer, but when she worked for herself, she didn't have to use CAD or anything like that, right? Well, all of a sudden she was offered a really nice job with an architectural firm. Well, she had to go to CAD and really learn it well, right, so she could get this job, and she has to continue to do that. And now CAD actually makes her even more creative in terms of what she's doing because it does a lot of the functionality for her. That's just an example of staying close to that.
Yeah, and you can see that in every industry for sure. And I know we're about to step into one of my favorite topics called the robot curve.
Yes.
But before we do that, Dave, just a quick reminder for those of you that might have joined us. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. Visit us anytime and join the conversation at davidstarkcollective.com. Find us on Twitter at Stark Collective, our LinkedIn group now at Business Connected. Right, Dave?
Yes.
Okay. Well, hit us up on the robot curve because this thing's pretty darn interesting.
Okay. So basically, this is how ideas work. A lot of ideas work, especially when you're dealing with stuff online. First of all, there's a person who's creative and creates something new. That's the entrepreneurial spirit to get something going along the way here, right? And it starts that creative and process, and then we start on the curve. And then the second one is now somebody skilled can learn what they created. And so that a skilled person can take it over because they don't need to create it now. It's a matter of, you know, developing it, and refining it, et cetera. That happens, right? And then after that, it becomes pretty rote. It's all about execution. We've got this thing down. It's about executing, executing, executing. And then real quickly, it becomes robotic. In other words, it's something that can be numerized, if you will, and then gone on to robots or automatic processes. The author states that all work starts as creative progress in this curve. And then I like to use digital, or maybe you want to use that digital example and talk about that a little bit on the robotic side of this.
Well, the story that I've told this on the show before too, but in my advertising days, I like to talk about the progression of digital media, right? Being able to, and how this has progressed on the curve. If you rewind the tape, Dave, digital media, we used to call things like flash banner ads as being highly creative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you spin, and I don't know if that was 20 years ago or when it was, when we first saw our first flash banner ad, and we're like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Not many people could do it. It was a breakthrough. And then, like you said, then it goes into that skilled area where more people can start to do it. It's still valuable, but more people are into the pool, and so you get this price compression in terms of how much you would pay a designer to do a flash banner ad. Then pretty soon it became rote, like everyone was doing. You're just, you know, pumping these out like crazy. And now we don't even talk about things like that really in digital media. We talk about things like programmatic ad buying. And, you know, even the terms now are very robotic.
Yes.
That's because a lot of this is becoming automated and mechanized. And, you know, one of the features of this robot curve is that prices ultimately go down along the curve, you know, as work goes from creative to skilled to rote to robotic. And that the same thing has happened in digital media. Digital media has become more affordable in terms of the creation of those ads because of this impact. But other new higher paying jobs are being created at the top of this funnel to allow people to create new strategies to use media in more effective ways. So planners and strategists, et cetera, these new jobs are being created, whereas the production part of this is going the way of the robot.
Yes.
Right? So it's not a zero-sum game like so many people fear.
Right.
New jobs are being created. They're just different than they were in the past as work goes down this curve. So it's a, again, it's a really important thing to be aware of if you're a manager or leader in an organization, that work follows this curve, and you have to know where you're at on this curve. Otherwise, you can get upset pretty quickly.
Right, which means that not all of what you're doing is going to go away. But the part that doesn't go away is the creative part of that, right, or the skilled part of that, not the things that become routines, right?
Right.
And that's what you got to pay attention to in this. Right, because the jobs may actually get bigger because now it's cheaper, which is what you just said.
That's exactly right.
Got it. Okay. So that's a third idea is using apps, okay, and our fourth idea, rather, and apps, for the whole point of apps or applications, if you will, is a shortcut to take complexity out of tasks. Just think about your smartphone for a moment, right? And I can push on there, and I can find out it's got a compass, and I just push on compass, and it does all that work for me. That's because all the complexity to get it to be able to do that's been done by somebody else. Now I can push a button and do that, right? Or find my phone. That's because somebody else has used Google Earth or whatever it takes to get to that sensor so they can get to that. So in other words, applications are meant to make complexity simple, right? So the question then becomes, what part of my tasks that are complex in my workplace has an app where I can make it simple? And this is where applications can help at least with some of the work that you're facing every day. If I go out there and look, well, who's already got this figured out? So I just have to push a button to actually get that done. I know I like to kid Justin about this, but I'm going to have him tell you about his apps on his iPhone and on his computer because he's got a bunch of them.
Well, two quick stories, Dave. The first one is my nickname is U-Turn. Right. So I can't tell you how much a smartphone has improved my quality of life because of things like Google Maps.
Yes.
Right. Being able to tell me where I need to go. I just punch it in and I just let it, you know, direct me where I need to go. I don't question it ever. But the one I will say is that in talking about taking out complexity, as a small business owner, one of my pain points is tracking mileage. I love tax write-offs, but I want to capture them all, right?
Yes.
And being able to track my mileage is key to that. It's a pain in the butt to do that manually.
Yes.
Spreadsheets and whatever. I use an app called Mile IQ, mm-hmm. which I'll put in our show notes for other small business owners that might find this helpful. Just works in the background. It tracks where you go, and then you just swipe left or right at the end of the trip, if it was business or personal, and sends you a report every single month that you can use. Super easy, but again, takes out that complexity and allows me to focus my finite time and effort on other things, which
yes.
are way more important than tracking mileage.
Exactly. See, and people hate those sheets, right, at the end of the deal, and so to have something that's actually doing it for you, right?
They're the worst.
It's really good. So.
Well, Dave, we've gone through four quick tips. We've got three more of those puppies.
Yes, we do.
We'll do that after a break here. So, folks, we're going to be back in a minute. We're going to be tackling more tips on how you can wrangle complexity at your workplace. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. We'll be right back.
The business world is rapidly changing, but the basic principles of stewardship remain the same. From interconnectivity to transparency to customer loyalty, David Stark and Justin Royer cover these topics from a fresh perspective at the intersection of faith and work, and viewing leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. You're listening to Working with Purpose, and we'd love to have you part of the discussion. You can dialogue with David and Justin on these important conversations, sign up to receive blog posts, get updates on upcoming events and more through their website, davidstarkcollective.com, or find them on Twitter at Stark Collective. David and Justin are also available to speak on a variety of topics related to working with purpose. We'll help you and your business go beyond discussing these concepts to putting them into action. Find out more by going to davidstarkcollective.com and open either the speaking or consulting pages of the platform. And now let's get back to part two of Working with Purpose.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. Please visit us and join this conversation at davidstarkcollective.com. You can find us on Twitter at Stark Collective. We'd like you to join our LinkedIn group called Business Connected. A lot of people want to listen to the podcast and write reviews for us on iTunes, if you would. So please do that. We want to hop right back into our topic, and we're really looking at how does a person deal with complexity at work or even in between jobs as they're trying to negotiate all of these accelerating curves of change that are happening around us. And we dealt with four in the first half, but let's dive into the next three, Justin, so we can look at these. Three more tips on handling complexity in the workplace. And we want to deal with the next one, which is really, really critical. It's called lifelong learning. Lifelong learning needs to be a priority for everyone because it's changing so fast. Every discipline, every field is now, because of the interconnectivity of the world, is changing really, really quickly. And so consequently, you need to take an interest in the parts of your field that you are part of. Now, this seems pretty obvious, but there's a lot of people that are disengaged at work. It's a huge percentage of people that they're there, but they're just kind of buying time. The problem with that is that even what they do have is going to become obsolete quickly. It would be my suggestion that if you're interested, then you've got to carve out some time where you can stay up with what's happening in various ways so you can continue to learn about kind of what the cutting edge is of whatever it is that you do. If you're not interested at all, it may be an indicator that you need to shift companies or fields, honestly.
Right.
This is where passion does matter because motivation gets connected to that, right? Right. Yeah. So, you know, let's just take RSS feeds, right? And the reality is that those are ways of being able to curate content directly to your mobile devices, coming off of areas that are in the areas that you enjoy. So in my case, they're in the form of apps. I know there are RSS feeds for Justin, but so I've got Harvard Business Review on there. I've got Forbes on there. I've got Boston Consulting Group on there, et cetera, right? MIT Sloan, because I'm constantly trying to keep up with what's going on with the interconnected world that we're dealing with. And that's just one way. But Justin, why don't you talk about a lot of other ways?
Yeah, I think RSS feeds are great because they do allow you to curate all kinds of information from the web in one place. I also like tools like Declara, which actually uses artificial intelligence to curate things for you based on what you already like. It's just, again, a helpful way to allow machines to serve you up information that you're going to enjoy. Also, Twitter, podcasts like this one, Dave,
yes,
are super helpful. And online courses. I mean, and by the way, I still like a good book.
I know. We do read a lot, don't we?
Good stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah,
even if they're on our iPads, we read.
Yep.
Okay, so that's another whole point, is lifelong learning. Figure out how to be interested in what you're doing with, or find a place where you are interested so you can stay engaged with it. The next one is a gigantic topic, which we're just going to touch a little bit today, and that's cloud services. And cloud services, for a lot of people, sound soft. They're not soft at all. What's happening is that all the software, if you will, that we use is now being stored on somebody else's computer sets, and they're actually big sets of computer servers, rather than on your computer. What does that mean? That means they can update it all the time. That means they can change it to whatever they need. They can customize it, et cetera. And so consequently, in the clouds, and there's different clouds, there are great, obviously, all kinds of communications, preparing documents, collaboration, and an enormous number of tasks. Are happening up there, and you need to find out clouds that are specifically dedicated to your industry, and I guarantee you that they're out there, places that you can connect to on this. I'll just give a simple one. You know, I think Justin primarily used Google Docs. I use Evernote, but it's a place in the cloud where I store everything. That means I never lose anything, right? So every client I'm working with, I upload those documents to their file. And now if my computer goes bad or I don't have it with me or whatever, the documents are still available. That's an obvious thing. The other thing is I can share it with other people. So rather than emailing them, 20 people the same docs, they can all just get into Evernote, work with the docs 24/7, right? That's just a small example of this gigantic movement called the cloud.
Yeah, it's super helpful. Google has a great cloud, Microsoft for productivity. Like you said, there are cloud-based services in pretty much every single industry. But you hit the nail on the head. Not only is it convenient, but it's also more secure. And by the way, especially if you're a small business owner, you don't need an IT team. you're using software now as a service in the cloud, which is a much easier way to just kind of manage your business.
It is. So, and that's kind of happening everywhere. But that, hopefully, the complexity that that takes out of things is you're not searching for documents all over wherever, and where did that go, and what happened to that email, because you've got it clustered up there. That's one example of reducing complexity. Okay, so let's go into another one. And we've talked about this in other programs, but there are online communities for just about whatever you're doing now. And the reason that that's important is it's the voice of everybody. It's kind of similar, if you've ever seen the show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You have this, what do they call those? Keys you can use. And one of them is called the audience participation card, right? So you can ask the audience to participate and tell you about a question you don't know. Well, this is like having an audience on your online community that's doing exactly what you're doing, and it's always there, which means if you can tap into those communities and whatever you're good at, then the reality is you're going to get those answers. I was just working with the CEO the other day, and he asked the question, you know, should I join a CEO group? He got 17,000 hits in an hour. Now, he's connected, but it's just an example. So we're going to turn now to what happens if you're in between jobs. And we just want to give you some basic ideas here. Number one, if you've lost your job, nurture and expand networks. And I just want to give you a basic idea here. The more first-level connections you have on whatever site you're on, those are deep relationships. They like who you are, not just what you can do. They'll meet with you multiple times. They're open their networks to you. But what you need to know is it's their net connections, it's called second-level connections, that 84% of the jobs are found in the second level connections, not your first connections. So the more connections you have, the more you can go into that second level, which is where the jobs are. Only 27% are actually in the first level connections. So big idea there. It's a good idea when you have a job. Why don't you talk about that, Justin, quickly?
Well, yeah,
here.
I mean, this is just a great practice, right, to keep your network always cultivated and always going, because the best time to network is really when you don't need anything from your network. It's to continue to put something out there and, you know, knowing that those seeds that you plant now will come to bear fruit later on.
Absolutely. Secondly, look for work and not just jobs. Because that an employer, if you found some work with an employer while you're in between, quote-unquote, getting the job, first of all, they think like this: well, I can get him hired right now without being a permanent employee for a while. I can test how good they are and their character. It's easier to hire than ramp up and hire somebody and ramp them up shorter time because they already have knowledge. They have firsthand view of how you fit into the organization, what you contribute. And so what work gives you is it leads to jobs, it's new connections and networks, builds your capabilities, and keeps you feeling productive during that whole time, which is great.
And, Dave, we're in the gig economy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, 40% of the U.S. workforce is essentially, you know, they're working, they don't necessarily have a job, right? It's freelance or independent contractor work, et cetera, and that's only increasing. Right. So being able to jump into this form of work and get comfortable with it now is probably a good thing to do, because as I look into the crystal ball, I see more of that coming down the pipeline.
Absolutely. And of course, that's what you and I are doing.
That's exactly
every day, basically. Right?
Yeah, and we love it.
We do. At least most of the time.
Right.
Now, obviously, you want to establish and reconnect with communities of support. And that's my last point. The reality is there's people that love you regardless of whether you have a job or don't have a job, right? That's your friends, that's your family, that's your peers, that's your church groups. And I want to close with this sort of story about Joseph. Joseph was a guy that God gave him a dream at the beginning of his life. But if you follow what happened, first of all, it was a dysfunctional family, quote unquote, because his dad favored him over his brothers. That's a great way to get killed. The next thing, his brothers betrayed him, of course. So fortunately, they didn't kill him. They just sold him, right? But when he got to Potiphar's house, he was building the skills of leadership and administration. He spent the whole time doing that there. Went great, great stuff. The problem is Potiphar's wife seduced him, right? Then they betrayed him. Now he's in the dungeon. He's in the right castle, but he's in the bottom of the castle. And then, of course, he uses those same skills again in the prison, begins to run the prison, but also has the spiritual gift of interpretation of dreams, which is like prophecy. He develops that, and, of course, then he helps some friends. They forget about him, but at the right time, one of his friends remembers, and he's brought before Pharaoh. And in two moves, first of all, he uses his gift of prophecy to interpret the dream. Then he uses his leadership and administration to tell him what to do about it, and he becomes second command in Egypt. Now, we're not all going to become second command in Egypt, but my point is, notice the meandering of that, and notice that every step of the way, what Joseph did before had an impact on what he was going to do later. And so that's exactly many times what the flow of careers are today. It's going to be a serial set of jobs, but does not mean it's blown your calling. And I want you to be aware of that and kind of the real complexity and volatility we've talked about in our program. You've been listening Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. Stay with us. We're going to do one more program on the adaptability series next week. Pretty quickly, we're going to begin our people series, and we've got an entire group of people lined up for you to listen to. For Justin Royer and David Stark, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.